This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, Hour 4, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Expressway starts in 20 minutes. LA Live is coming up in 40 minutes, and in the meantime, we have an edition, a Week 7 edition of the Chiefs Football Finest. Here we go.
Yes, sir. Man, I thought it was a foregone conclusion for the award today for the Jim Harbaugh Football Guy quote of the day that's usually brought to you by Jim Harbaugh. And then I just saw the quote from the guy that tore you up on Sunday, Ben Johnson.
Uh-oh, what the hell did Ben say?
This is pretty fantastic. You guys be the judge here. I got some sound of Jim Harbaugh that's going to be worth your time.
Heard it.
But Ben Johnson, he was asked about unloading the trick plays. And some people were saying, like, hey, we know you want to put it on or whatever, but is it worth it to put a bunch of stuff out there on tape that now other teams in a meaningless game at this point, you're blowing out the Cowboys. Should you really be putting all this stuff on tape? And so he was asked about it. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, and he says, quote, I'm not worried about putting things on tape. If anything, it's going to set up the next thing down the road. The well is deep.
Nice, dude.
End quote.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows just, and that's the skill of a coach. There's so many different things that you need to have. A lot of them from like an EQ standpoint, but like football IQ standpoint and being able to build off of things. It's not like, okay, I have this offense and this is what it is. The ability to take it all these other places. And he's talking about setting stuff up down the road, and he knows that he's just scratching the surface on the things that he has. What an amazing place to be. Of course, the confidence is going to be through the roof. He's got great players across the board, so it helps from this standpoint.
So bleeping jealous.
But he gets the most out of it.
He does.
He does.
That's your future head coach, boys.
That is a crotch-first confidence from a play
caller. I know
you're
going to make the right decision, Jer Bear.
Yeah, he's saying, I wish somebody would go out there and study because they will be perfectly set up for what comes next, dude. Like, I'm two steps ahead.
I'm waiting
all the time.
On them.
Thank you.
And
yes,
that's the key.
Please look at this play and that play.
I want that.
Yeah. I want that so bad.
You never know what's going to happen there. By the way, the 5 o'clock football hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football.
And obviously the scheme isn't an end-all be-all. You're not going to beat better teams. But I think we've gotten to a point now, competitiveness is so high, you need the players and the scheme. It's all got to come together in order to win big. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the same kinds of teams are making it to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
By the way, the Lions have a new nickname for their backfield. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Did you see this, Will Chuck?
Knuckles. Yeah, we played the audio. You might have been out. You might have been out last week.
Okay, I just saw the Sonic and Knuckles. That's pretty strong. And after seeing them on Sunday, I have even
well
more
deserved
more respect than I knew I should have had for David Montgomery. And he's been awesome. And you see him like running through the Seahawks the other night on Monday Night Football. But man, what he did on Sunday, very, very impressive. And he got the bag the night before. They're just paying guys left and right. We're going to pay David Montgomery before the Cowboys game. We'll see who dominates Zach Martin. Okay, it's going to be Aleem McNeil. We'll give him a contract on Tuesday. They're just wheeling and dealing out there.
They are. I'm on Ross St. Brown, Panay Sewell, Jared Goff. They all got taken care of this offseason, too.
Nobody is as confident as Ben Johnson, but here is Jim Harbaugh with, again, what I thought was going to be the Jim Harbaugh Football Guy quote of the day, brought to you by Jim Harbaugh. He has now seen his cardiologist, and this is the report.
Yeah, good news. Just talked to the cardiologist before I came in here. Got some test results back. The heart of an athlete. Is a direct quote from my cardiologist. So that made me feel good. And he said, stress test was really good too. I think he used the word incredible. I think he did. My stamina was incredible, and heart got stronger as it was more stressed. So, and back in rhythm. Hopefully that that sticks. We'll got the monitor on. So, good news. I took that as a compliment. Blue twisted steel.
He flexed like multiple times throughout that.
Yeah, good.
45 second clip, by the way.
Could hear a pin drop in there.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Are you allowed to ask, could they ask questions about the heart and stuff like that? Was that a HIPAA law thing maybe that they're not allowed to do?
Well, you can ask. You can't disclose somebody else's private medical information.
I mean,
you can ask him to give you his own information, which he was pretty open to there because he got a glowing report. He has the heart of an athlete. And let's not forget, of course he does. He's got more career rushing yards than Bo Jackson.
I'm surprised, surprised nobody spoke up. That's what I'm saying. Were they worried? Were they worried about asking a question that he would say, that's none of your damn business?
Well, they just weren't interrupting him while he was going on his 45-second spiel. I'm sure there was follow-up questions. I didn't pull – that's the only clip that I saw from it.
I think as a younger guy, it's awkward when the older dudes start talking about mortality and medical things, and you don't know if I need to, tread lightly here or do I just,
move on. That's what I
kind of
was
talking about, Brian. Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Right
Like, does he want to talk about this?
Yeah. Do you hope to get to the, who's going to play quarterback for you this week?
I guess it's somewhat fair game considering that he had an incident that happened during the game.
Yeah, he was at work.
I mean, So it does open it up, I think, for, questions.
And you're just giving him more and more opportunities to distance himself from the false narrative that he soiled his pants during the game.
Which did not happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for the record, I would soil my pants if my BPMs got over 300.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm done.
You wouldn't need any fiber thins. That's for sure. Yeah, you'd be ready to go.
No more Metamucil for
feeling
my
quite
guy.
Regular today.
Okay.
By the way, my cardiologist texted in. He says, you got a better cardiologist than Harbaugh.
You got a heart of an athlete, bro.
Nice, dude.
Thanks, Doc. I love you, man.
I might need to come see you, Doc.
He's tooting his own horn there. I like it.
No, this Doc's he's, damn
Yeah,
good.
I imagine if you're a cardiologist, you come to the South to work to put in your best stuff.
The biscuits and gravy belt.
Yeah. You're in the Triple Bypass headquarters.
I need a little too much chicken fried steak there.
Yeah, he's got the he's the Ben Johnson of heart doctors. He's got the confidence and he's earned it.
Yeah, that's right.
Best in the business. Okay, now we have Jaden Daniels. This dude is just continuing to stack it up. Mm-hmm. It is now fifth award this year for him to be Rookie of the Week. He's he's running away with the award. And there's guys that don't even have that many touchdowns to their name right now. And he's got that many awards. And he's running all over people. And John Gruden is a big fan of what is going on in Washington right now. And we've played some clips of John from his YouTube and stuff. Well, yes, he is.
He's having fun doing this, by the way. This all this stuff. He didn't think he would have fun. He's having fun.
You have that as a direct quote from him?
Yeah.
You text him with him a little bit?
I checking in? I do. I say
wellness check?
I do. I say, hey, your YouTube stuff is pretty cool. Because I like when he breaks down the games.
Yeah.
And, but he says he's having fun doing it. So, good for him.
Well, it sounds like he's having fun. I'm having fun listening to it, at least some of the clips that I continue to see. And so he's talking about why this Commander's offense is working. He's giving credit to Kingsbury. He's giving credit to the O-line coach and the O-line, but specifically the rookie Brandon Coleman at tackle.
Mm.
And listen to him just completely. We heard the way he got to the height of pleasure talking about Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
He's pretty fired up talking about the rookie out of TCU, Brandon Coleman.
They bring in this young man named Coleman out of TCU. He's a rookie.
God,
I wish I had Coleman. I'd like to have Coleman as my bodyguard. He gets his hands on you. He sustains blocks. He's got some girth over there. He's a physical left tackle. They got two guys over there that are playing good.
He is apparently rotating in and out. He's not, they have some weird rotation going on at their left tackle spot. And so, but he's like, John Gruden's like, dude, I really like this guy more than whoever the other tackle is that they're kind of going in and out with. But the rookie out of TCU must be, I don't know how, where this guy was on draft
boards.
And
Coleman was a day two guy, second or third rounder. Yeah. He was a good player. He had some guard. I thought maybe he'd be a better guard than
better
a tackle.
Better guard, yeah. That's what kind of the things. But Lucas, Cornelius Lucas, is that who he's shuffling in and out of with?
Yes, oh, yes.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar with that dude's game, but
yeah, Lucas is. I didn't think Lucas was very good. That's why I was wondering.
Maybe Coleman's going to be the full-time guy.
I think Coleman's
guy.
Probably take his spot.
I mean, I'd trade for Coleman.
Well,
if they want to give him up, we'll trade, and he can
trade,
play guard.
You know who's trade got Tyler
Guyton. Sam Cosmi.
No, I'll play Guyton at right. We'll swap Steele and Coleman.
There you go. Take the right tackle we don't want, make him your left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take the TCU guy. Bring him home.
Yeah, bring him
Come
home.
Come on, do what's best for the kid.
Bring him home.
Dan Quinn.
And we'll make him the next starting right guard when Zach Martin retires.
This is actually the third straight game where Lamar Jackson's playing a former Heisman quarterback as well. Three games in a row because it was Joe Burrow, Lamar versus Burrow. It was Lamar versus Jaden Daniels, and now it's Lamar versus Baker Mayfield. How soon we forget.
Oh. So Jaden Daniels wins Rookie of the Week in a loss. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He still played well.
Yeah, two touchdowns, no picks, high percentage. It's all there, even against good defenses.
It is.
I know we were wondering about that at the first month.
Yeah. The rumors are the rumors about
maybe you weren't. Brian.
I'm never you were surprised, very confident. I knew that.
Yeah, I was a.
You guys.
Well, you're an LSU homer.
Right side of the table.
I am a homer of. I agree.
I never listen to you when you're talking LSU guys. You know, I know you're too biased.
Honestly, you shouldn't.
I did say that throughout the whole thing. You're like, I might like this neighbor's guy more than Harrison Jr., but I'm LSU. I love Jaden Daniels, but I'm LSU.
Think, yeah, you think John Gruden loves players? You ought to hear me talk about LSU players.
Yeah.
We know you love your guys.
I love my guys.
Yeah, no, Jaden Daniels is definitely playing well, and I think a big surprise, too, is that Cliff Kingsbury has him dialed, has that offensive line rolling, and he's getting a ton of credit for the way that he is assisting his line, because the individual players aren't necessarily that awesome.
Yeah.
So they're doing things schematically to help them out in a big way, and Kingsbury, the old line coach, whoever the heck that is, I think Anthony Lynn is a part of
their run game
and stuff like that, and some of their design stuff. It's all been really good. So that is a huge tip of the cap from top to bottom with that offense, from Kingsbury to Jaden Daniels. They're really getting after it. Now Tom Brady has walked into the facilities, the only facility that he can walk into, and that's in Vegas.
Standing
ovation. That's correct.
Woohoo!
And the rumors are already out that his first move, he's trying to lock in the Bill Belichick hire. Just bye-bye Antonio Pierce. I don't know what his contract is. I don't know how much millions of dollars you can eat if you're Mark Davis, because he's not the most financially stable owner.
It's gotten a lot better. When they were in Oakland, like the Bank of the West was like their creditor.
The mafia wedding.
So the Vegas situation has him much more liquid?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good yes, for
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, then maybe he could just go ahead and one and done old Antonio Pierce.
Yeah. Very well could. Yeah.
Very well could. Do you guys buy that with Brady? Do you guys think that he would be wanting to get the Belichick thing going?
That seems like a butt crack thing to me. I mean, they were at odds with each other, but you know, maybe as your boss and you're the coach and I don't have to work with you as a quarterback, you know, Tom believes Belichick is what the Raiders need. So, you know, obviously they were professional enough to put their differences aside for many years, maybe is the better part of a decade there at the end for New England for both of them. So, you know, I didn't think it would be something that made a lot of sense in the beginning, but the more I think about it, yeah.
I wonder now the question that Tom Telesco is their general manager. I wonder if, in fact, if that starts to be the case and, you know, Brady becomes a little heavy-handed, does Tom Telesco say, I'll go do something else, you know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't want to hang around.
5% ownership, you're trying to make all the calls here, bud.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, and you, because obviously they're going to, Tom Brady is going to be the sounding board for that organization. There's no question about it. I mean, and you wonder, as a player personnel guy, are you willing to allow it to happen? Or are you just, you know, hey, I need to keep my job, that kind of thing? Or, you know, you're going to move on. They might move on from him too. You know?
Yeah.
They've tried, they had a New England Patriot general manager guy there. Forgot the guy's name. He came in after our guy, Mike Mayock, you know, when they hired the old coordinator from the Patriots.
That's right.
Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Patriots guy running the player personnel department with Josh McDaniels, and they moved on from all that. They just completely jettisoned that stuff.
That'd be funny if Belichick's like, McDaniels is going to be my OC. Everything just
do you if Belichick goes full were circle. To come here, would you worry about McDaniels being your OC?
Yes.
I think it'd be a guaranteed thing. We've talked about this. I'd have questions. I think McDaniels as an OC, that's his best position. The guy went 9-8 with Mac Jones and had Mac Jones looking like the best quarterback of that draft class. I don't think he's a terrible OC. But there's big time question marks there because he's now been out of it for a few years and you know he's a terrible head coach.
Fascinating indeed, gentlemen. Thank you so much, Chief, for that addition to the finest.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back with the Expressway going commercial free to the top. LA Live coming up at 5:40. What does Troy Aikman think about Jerry's reaction to Sean and RJ's questions? We'll get that and more on the other side here. On
for the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back, Nation. Flagtober rolls on tomorrow. Sean and RJ at the Denton Firehouse off 35. Hockey fans, a new Spits and Suds podcast is out. Sean Shapiro joins the Hockey Hawk talking about Jake Oettinger's new contract and more.
And we did Love of the Star today, too.
Love of the Stars up.
Catch that after our show today, if you would.
Brought us a belt.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the most gangster snowboarding story you will ever hear. We'll get some Cowboys in here as well, what Troy Aikman had to say about Jerry's stance. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. The Guardians got two in the top of the fourth, I think.
It was a homer, two-run homer.
Bottom of third. Yeah, two-run homer about 20 minutes or so ago. So now they lead the Yankees. It's 2-1 there in the fourth inning, Game 3, New York, with the 2-0 series lead. The Dodgers and Mets will play tonight. Freddie Freeman out with an ankle issue.
Can't move.
With that Game 3 set for a 7:08 start tonight. Yeah, that's a tough time to be injured in the playoffs. Just unbelievable. You know, how do you even get hurt playing baseball? That's what I've always wondered. It's you don't have anybody in your area. You know, nobody's trying to hurt you.
Standing around all day.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to run and catch a ball.
You're standing around all day.
Oh, that's what does it?
Yeah. You're always on your feet.
Your body gets a little static.
Yeah.
I could see that. Okay, we go to Canada. A former Olympic snowboarder charged with running a drug trafficking ring that shipped vast amounts of cocaine across the Americas and killed several people, authorities saying Thursday. This definitely shoots way past Tanya Harding, you know, for the most criminally minded Olympian of all time. I've never heard anything
how about our
like
guy
this.
With the blades, that runner.
Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah, he went to
poor
the
poor little tink tink.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that's up there as well, assuming that he actually did that, which I think most people do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and that was a crime of passion. This is a crime of drug trafficking. And apparently,
crime of crime?
This dude was involved with the cartels.
Oof.
Yeah, former Olympic snowboarder. The FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and the extradition of Ryan James Wedding. Canadian citizen who was living in Mexico, considered a fugitive, the 43-year-old charged in the U.S. with running a criminal enterprise, murder, conspiring to distribute cocaine and other crimes, prosecutors said. His group moved large shipments from Colombia through Mexico, through California to Canada and other locations in the U.S. using long-haul semi-trucks. The former Olympic snowboarder faces years-old charges in Canada, one of 16 people charged in connection with a ring that moved 60 tons of cocaine a year, per year. And four of them remain fugitives, with the snowboarder being one of them. What do they say here? He chose to become a major drug trafficker, and he chose to become a killer. Christy Hawkins, FBI special agent in charge in L.A., said a dozen people were arrested in across the U.S. in connection with the case. They allege the group killed two members of a family in Canada in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment. Mm. What officials there said was a case of mistaken identity. That's scary. And at least one other person, authorities said they seized cocaine, weapons, ammunition, cash, and more than $3 million in crypto in connection with their investigation. A little curveball in there for you. Okay, here's the Olympic part. He competed in the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. Authorities said he finished 24th in the parallel giant slalom. So didn't have a big future in snowboarding.
No, he kind of knew what was about to happen. He needed to do something else.
Sounds like he sucked.
Yeah, he did.
Him or the breakdance lady, I don't know which one.
Definitely. Ooh. This guy sucks more.
Yeah, for killing the people, but probably not at his sport than the breakdance lady.
Yeah.
And she might be the all-time worst. I think Eddie the Eagle, the ski jumper, was executing his sport better than her. Mm. Okay, so Mr. Wedding, the Canadian snowboarder, also believed to have resumed drug trafficking after being released from prison for a previous stint and had been protected by the Sinaloa cartel. Whoa. In Mexico. So, yeah, you know, these snowboarders, you know, can't trust them. They get out there in the party life, the party circuit. The next thing you know, they're, you know, trying to pull a full Walt White on you.
Mm. That was a man that just couldn't stay away from the powder one way or another.
Yeah, yeah, good one. Okay, Troy on the Cowboys, Troy Aikman weekly radio show on 1310, asked about Jerry's reaction to Sean and RJ's questions Tuesday, said, to me, the reaction by him is more an indication of what he's feeling and what's going on inside of him and how frustrated that he is. Yeah, although a review today of what Dale Hansen and Brad Sham did in the 90s to be extricated from that broadcast, it doesn't seem like it's that much different. I think Dale Hansen was more aggressive. That was a different time back then in the 90s. Yeah. Because everything was new that Jerry Jones was doing in the sports world. And the media had this shocked reaction, like, how dare you run the Cowboys like this? And a lot of the interactions, particularly involving Dale, became very, very pointed. And I think over time, you know, a number of decades, the media has just come to accept that. And we don't go after him that much for it. But at the same time, I think, you know, Jerry went through a number of decades where he was very accepting of all the criticism that would come towards him. And I wonder if this is maybe a back to the future play as, you know, now he revisits maybe his mindset that he had towards the media, much more adversarial in the 90s. But, you know, I think the media and the Joneses have, you know, maybe an unspoken arrangement. We're not going to focus on the fact, the undeniable fact, that everything with the Cowboys boils down to you. We could do that 365 days a year, right? And in the meantime, we have to at least be able to be critical of you, you know. And I think it's been a good balance, right? We actually pretend like the coach or the players, for great portions of our media obligations, have just as much of an impact on this organization's failures. But everything comes back to him, you know. And I would think that, you know, playing along, and it's sad that that's what that is, would buy you some leeway. And I believe it has, at least up until quite recently here on The Fan. It'll be very interesting to see if he comes on Friday. You think he's going to come on KNC Masterpiece Friday?
I think probably next week he goes back to normal schedule.
I know Steven's not doing for the bye week, so I think Jerry's probably going to take the bye week off too.
Yeah.
Okay. On Dallas wide receivers, Troy Aikman saying, I think the routes are terrible. I think they run terrible routes. I've thought that beyond this year. I think CD has got to improve in his route running as a QB. If you're not certain where guys are going to be consistently, it's hard to play the position. That's what I see. I see guys lazy coming off the line of scrimmage. Sometimes they run. Usually if they do, it's because they're anticipating they're going to get the football on that play. But if they're not, they don't. And it all ties together. I'm not impressed with that part of it. This coaching, this players, you know, how do you get this fixed, Brian?
Yeah, I thought a lot.
Do you agree?
I know we talked about this earlier. I thought a lot of it has to do with ability, you know, with CD, to me, there's, you know, as a route runner, it's never been a great route runner. I don't think Dallas has, I think Cooks is your best route runner, in my opinion. I think everybody, I mean, if you were to break them down, much like Troy has, you would naturally say this is not a great route running team.
CD is winning with athleticism and catch radius and talent.
Yeah, and just his ability. Yeah, what was he at Oklahoma when, you know, it was everything was like run after catch. Mm-hmm. It was, these guys don't separate. They don't, I mean, when you talk about route running, they don't do anything to separate. And I don't think they're particularly a fast group. I don't think they're a quick group. I think they've got some length to them, you know, with the exception of Turpin and Cooks.
Yeah.
Those are your shorter, quicker guys. But if you watch these guys run routes like Brooks and
Tolbert
and Flournoy and those guys, they're big, kind of long guys. And it's not going to look pretty. I think that their biggest problem is they just don't have explosive players other than their little guys.
I mean, they only have one good wide receiver, period, right? I mean, I think that's as tough as it looks in the trenches in some spots. Yeah. Like wide receiver, finding the guy that matches that description in the draft, you could come away a lot worse than that.
I kind of feel like, to me, that they're the thing with Tolbert. I think Tolbert has a chance. I really do. But, you know, right now, like I say, he's just a little bit too up and down. But they don't have great route run. I keep saying that. They just don't.
Do you need one?
I think you do. I think you need, well, if a coach,
you have one or the other. You got to either have a good scheme or a good,
that's what I'm saying,
or a good player that can get himself open.
If
but
you're not going to, it's like guys that create shots in basketball or don't create shots. If you don't have that ability to do it, it's going to be hard to get your shot off. But to me, the Cowboy, they, like I say, I think Dak he's one of the leading quarterbacks in the league when it comes to tight window throws. They just don't separate. They run routes and they don't separate, you know. And I don't know if it's, you know, he's calling it lazy. I just think a lot of it has to do with ability.
Yeah, and I think it's also extremely predictable. I think a lot of these corners know where these receivers want to go because it's like, dude, they got to get the ball out super fast. I mean, at least that's what that's how they're playing it. They're playing it like they don't trust their offensive line, and there's a lot of reasons to feel that way. But it's pretty predictable when you know Dak's got to get the ball and immediately get rid of it. Because one, he's not an off-script player, so it's not like he's going to dial something up that wasn't supposed to be a part of the play. He's one of the worst at it. That's super unfortunate about Dak. He's not going to, okay, the play broke down, and now I'm going to go make a play. He's not that guy, and defenses know that. So it's like, if you're going to get the ball super quick, we know your route trees that you want to run, and you have subpar players. So there's no reason any of these guys should be open. They're not good enough, and their scheme is not allowing them to do it. So makes a ton of sense to me.
We'll have Isaiah Stan back on tomorrow at 5. He did a really good film breakdown with DallasCowboys.com. Also former receiver in the league. I'm interested in his thoughts on that.
Jayden Daniels is getting it done with these guys, though.
It's something that you could look at the scheme, you can look at the receivers, you can look at the quarterback. I just don't think it all meshes together that well. If your quarterback is not pinpoint accurate, you're expecting him to throw balls to wide receivers in very tight windows without many yards of separation. That's not going to work. You're going to have to scheme them open. You know, you're going to have players with major catch radiuses. And, you know, they've only to this point this year accomplished one of those. Okay, so how do you pull out of this, I think, has to be the major outside looking in big picture Cowboys question. Like, where do you find hope that in the not too distant future the Cowboys can become good again? And I think for me it involves trading veterans now, kind of tanking this year to get a better draft pick, and acquiring a bunch of extra draft picks that, you know, you could eventually have like a Herschel Walker trade impact on your team, where all of a sudden you're just flush with young talent, like what the OKC Thunder have done in the NBA. So SI has four players the Cowboys need to put on the trading block. Now I'm going to give you the player. You tell me, would you trade this guy? What could you get for him? Number one on the list is Brandon Cooks. What could you get for Brandon Cooks? Obviously you trade
totally
him
down to
if
trade
somebody
him.
Wants him.
Can't imagine you're getting... I can't imagine you're getting
probably
anything.
Probably a day three pick, maybe four or
if
five.
If he's got a knee issue, I don't think anybody's going to do that.
I know this kills your
segment a little bit, but if you were to do it, it would be a late round pick. It would absolutely.
He's also a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, but
I'll take a five or a six. But hey, they're getting players in the fifth and sixth round consistently.
He's
here.
The one guy, though, that to me, when he is healthy, though, he does have speed.
I'm with
you. And you don't have many guys like that, but Yeah, like I say, I
but these comeback routes we've talked about, he's not getting open on those.
Well,
yeah, they don't know how to use him anyway.
They have to change the way they use him for it to work.
What if I, you know, it's interesting here.
Got less than 100 yards in a month of work.
Yeah, this is what I just was curious about something. Where do you think Dallas is on the number of, like, say, vertical routes?
In the bottom third.
yeah, numbers.
They run a lot.
It's one of their highest numbers of routes they run.
Yeah, they're chasing points like crazy.
Well, the thing is, it's just nine routes, right?
It's ends and it's vertical routes and end breaking routes.
That's one of those things. And they'll win at times on those. Tolbert, I've seen win. Cooks, I saw, would win on those too.
I'm just saying, what are their routes? They're running that the highest percentage of routes they run are the go, the vertical, and in breaking routes.
So let's talk about how Dak would find Cooks on a long route. That's got to be in stride in his belly.
Yeah.
He's a body catcher, needs to run into space and kind of catch the ball like a center fielder. I don't think Dak throws with the anticipation or the accuracy to accomplish that.
The other day they tried to throw a vertical route to Tolbert, and Zach Martin missed his block, and Dak couldn't get the ball to Tolbert, and it was short.
There's that as well.
If they get that block, that ball's probably out front, and it's probably a catch for a touchdown. So I mean, it's a problem. I mean, it's, you know, if you said what do you change, you probably have to change this coaching staff. You know, that's what you really have to change.
Coaching staff and players. Yeah. Okay, number three on the list as they count down to number one is Luke Schoonmaker. Could you get anything for Luke right now? Is he that much of a lost cause? We dealing Luke Schoonmaker? I think that's probably not even a topic.
I'd be fine moving on from him.
I don't know what you would get for him.
Number two is Trey Lance. So many teams have needed quarterback depth.
Yeah.
And then number one is DeMarcus Lawrence. And, you know, if he comes back healthy, if you could prove healthy before the trade deadline.
That's eight weeks.
I think he might have a little bit of value, but I don't know if any team would want to trade for him right now.
Yeah.
You know, at this point in his career, you'd have to be desperate for edge help. Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely. That's one of the stories in the NBA out of Los Angeles. And Messi, who scored three goals in Argentina's World Cup qualifying match against Bolivia this week, acknowledged these might be my last games. He says he looks at his health and happiness as more important than making sure that he gets to play in the 2026 World Cup after his heroic trek through the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. He no longer has that as a giant must-do bucket list item, winning the World Cup. He's done that. 20 years of Messi, and it's incredible that, you know, still on the top of his game enough to not only have that hat trick the other night against Bolivia, but he led Miami to one win shy of the MLS all-time points record, and that was after, like, sitting out 2 months of the season. So, salute to the GOAT. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has an edition of LA Live.
You know, man, I was talking with my father, and we have come to the conclusion that the Cowboys can't tackle. They have a problem tackling, right?
They do. That's right.
They look awful out there.
They do.
Second most missed tackles in the NFL Raiders.
They run into the player, and if the player doesn't fall, well, that's into the play. Or they might wrap around each other and just hold each other until somebody blows the whistle. Please, can I get another Cowboy over here to hold them up to? Oh, please. Yes, we have come to the conclusion that the Cowboys can't tackle because they're wearing too many damn chains. Ooh. They have like two or three chains on out there. How can you wrap up with them chains on, fam?
I wouldn't want it. Might break.
Come on, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, it's $100,000. You got a Miami Cuban link chain on? Yeah. Out here with some Rolos on? 25-carat tennis bracelets? Solitaire pendants, bro?
They're out there to be TV stars.
Bezel sets?
Brooch?
Yeah, brooch. A choker on, man. Come on, chill out, bro. Right. Yeah, that's what we came up with. And we both agreed, so it's got to be real. All right, let's get into a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live right after the Great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke.
Too many chains on.
Fire up this funk.
We need more dogs.
It'll make you dance some everything. Everybody get high.
Ladies!
But the biggest thing I learned, though, with dating, I learned I can't hit on alcoholic women anymore. I can't do it. I had one girl, she almost drank me into poverty. It was... Y'all laughing. We were at the bar. She was like, hey, Dan, another round. I was like, bitch, I work at Target. I make $15 an hour. Whole date, I was on my phone. She's like, what are you texting other women? I'm like, no, I'm texting Bank of America right now. I'm like, y'all don't see any suspicious activity? Y'all just gonna let me do this? Y'all not gonna freeze my account? I'm looking at the bartender like, cut us off. Because when you make hourly, you view money you spend in terms of hours of your life.
Yeah.
So every drink she ordered, I was like, I'm gonna have to work Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, them bills look different when a girl ain't drinking.
Yeah.
They look total, oh, I'm not going to have any drinks tonight. And right. They hand you that bill, you're like, oh, man, we can stay for another hour. Listen.
Oh, you want dessert?
We can turn up. What? Yeah, man, them bills be looking different. All right, this is LA Live for October 17th, 2024. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies. I appreciate you riding with us. And shout out to all the ladies being forced to listen to the fan right now because you're locked in with a Tolo.
Yeah. You're a good woman.
You're so good, woman. We appreciate you. And please, do not talk over the broadcast. I say that respectfully. I love you. I really do. Hey, speaking of loving you, single women stand up out here. Single women stand up. Single women reportedly own more homes in the United States than single men's.
True.
It's the OnlyFans effect.
Divorce.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Single women own roughly 10.7 million homes compared to 8 million for a single man. This is all according to LendingTree. This is not my facts. These are LendingTree's facts right here. Now, you guys are guessing. Why is that, fellas? Why do you think the ladies are owning more homes than the men's out here today?
I think there's a lot of professional women out there that have done very, very well that can buy homes, but I'm also going to say divorce. Has said that you get the house and the divorce.
Daddy bought the house. I can see that.
I'm gonna give you the house. I'm moving on. See that kind of thing.
I do think women have like a nesting instinct that kicks in earlier than men. So as the young professional, maybe they're more likely to be like, wow, I really need to buy a home.
Yeah. I need to buckle down and get serious.
Yeah.
I need to eat some sandwiches for a few months so I can stack this bread up, right?
I think as a man in this world, you feel like if I lose everything, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and make it happen. You know?
I can always come back. I can start over with a lawn chair and an air mattress in a little one-bedroom apartment and come back. Yeah. I could come back.
I don't think that single men really think about having a house.
No.
I think they feel like I'll live in a condo or a townhouse or something. They're not thinking about having a home. They're thinking about I'll be fine, like the bachelor pad. You know, I'll have the room with the TV and the bar area and all that.
Yeah, if I wasn't married right
women
now.
Women are thinking about, I want a house with bedrooms. Okay with and
I'd be still living at my parents' room. House.
Yeah. The hotel life or an apartment, you know, I'm cool with that.
Well, yeah. Those are all great reasons there,
what
fellas.
Is the webcamming? But it's the OnlyFans, dude. It's the influencer stuff.
It's the
these girls are just posting pictures of themselves and the checks clearing.
Some big time hating going on. They got in a divorce. Daddy bought it for them. You busted them cheeks open. That's why you got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of hating going on. Well, the research right here says longer life expectancy is one.
Okay.
They live a little bit longer. Which I've seen that in my family. You know, they've been married to 40-some-odd years or something like that, and the woman's still walking around, opening up the door. Family, come on in! And he's in the corner drooling on himself.
Yeah. So they're outliving the men and having the home. They're kind of like the 82-year-old grandma widow as a single homeowner. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
More women are college-educated than men.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elitists.
Willingness to make sacrifices. Austin, you said that earlier.
Yeah.
Nesting thing kicks in, said, I got to make something happen.
Yeah.
Beans and weenies for 6 months till I get this paper right.
They need a backup plan.
I always have a backup plan.
Fallback. Yeah.
They
That's why they shoebox money. you know, when your lady tells you I'm dead broke, that's not counting the $2,500 she has a rat hold somewhere.
Yeah. And every time my girl, she'd go like, use my card, she'll take like $60 out of cash.
Yeah. It's going somewhere.
It's going somewhere.
There's a hole
bro.
In the wall somewhere.
It's going somewhere. They do not play.
Get you a bloodhound.
What else we got right here? Women are getting more houses than men. Women are more likely to embrace being single as a lifestyle.
Yep.
Huh. I kind of thought men's would do that. I'm a bachelor. I'm out here moving. I'm genuine.
I think a lot of women out there, especially women my age, they've got really good jobs and they don't need men.
Yeah. They have a lot of fun with their girlfriends.
They can go on trips. They can do, yeah. you know, they do not need you.
That's the one I need, bro. Yeah.
But the other thing they have in common is they're super heartbroken. Like the man they really love broke their heart like 5 years ago. They're just committed to going single now. Because they'll never love anybody as much as that dude. They know it.
Their kids are grown. Yeah. They don't need men.
I have a pretty good joke for that, Dawson, but I can't say it on these radios. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Something.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Women are better at negotiating.
Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't want anything from them or need anything from them, it's going to be a hard negotiation.
Yeah.
But if there's something there, I might meet you in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. Give in.
I might meet you in the middle. Yeah, you might see me creep on into bed at 3 in the morning.
Hey, can reevaluate
this. Make some room for me. I'm sorry. I think you're right. You had a better plan than I did.
So you want the deed to the house, huh?
Here's the keys.
And last one right here. Younger women are earning more comparable salaries to men their age.
That's true.
So they're getting that paper, man.
No more wage gap. That ain't right.
Shout out to the ladies out there.
Plenty of thigh gap, though.
Sandwich, I need to go out with Brian so I can get to meet the sugar mama.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't want no man. Well, good. I'm the one you need.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you neither. But, hey, you got to have me. I'll be upstairs whenever you need me.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you just pay for that.
Leave the money on the table.
For me, please. Pay for that Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
All right, let me see what we got right here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Every weekday on The Fan at 2:30, we do G-Bag of the Day. If you see anything floating around out there, come on, Marvin. Here we go right there. Hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, and you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Boy, these days are counting down over there at the Star. I hope y'all got a rapper or a lyricist or somebody writing, because this right here is burning up the charts. And in the diss track world, you have a week the most to respond. In this digital world, a week or most. Here you go.
Man, here we go again. This team ain't gonna never win. I'm ashamed to be a fan. Got me lying to my friends. Louis belt straight to ass. That cannot complete a pass. CeeDee Lamb been playing trash. Man, how long is this gonna last?
Hey.
Get it, Jerry.
Yeah.
Quit it, Jerry. Yeah. Hey, retire, yeah. Jerry. Yeah. We gotta fire, Jerry. Yeah. Boy, you know this team super bad. Every week we taking belt to ass. That bitch is me. That cannot complete a simple pass. Man, how long is this bitch gonna last? Who you throwing? Took a 40 ball, beating two times is like a sequence.
Wow.
Dak, who you throwing to?
He throwing it to the defense.
I'm like, Dak, who you throwing it to?
He throwing it to the ops.
I'm like, Dak, you gotta stop. Dak, go to the barbershop. Get that hairline fixed. And maybe you'll stop throwing picks. And maybe CeeDee Lamb will stop being the diva and he'll stop throwing fits. And maybe Mike McCarthy will be on the sideline wearing some clothes that fit. And maybe Jerry Jones just might retire because he owed it.
Man, here we go. Alright. Some nice jam, man. I like that one.
It's great.
It can keep going for another whole 3-4 minutes, in my opinion. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, ladies night vibes right here for you on your ride home. Y'all be careful out there, please. I got an Al Pacino update. Scarface.
Okay.
Scent of a Woman. Hoo-ah! Remember I told you about Al Pacino's girlfriend
dipping
off with Bill Maher?
Yeah.
On the same day that her and Al Pacino linked up? Well, they asked Al Pacino about that, and he said, I'm a single man.
Yeah.
So she's single too, apparently.
Yeah.
So she's double dating out here. She gonna see Al in the morning and Bill later on that afternoon. It's kind of crazy to me.
Wow, dude.
He found one. He found one. And she has a record of dating older men.
Yeah.
So shout out to her and how she gets down. Al Pacino's new memoir talks about how he went broke at the age of 70.
Ooh.
Here's how he did it.
paid $400K a year for landscaping for a house he barely lived in. Yeah. My God, that landscaper is eight. Yeah. Oh, he's eating high on the hog, you hear me? Just one of your accounts was $400K a year, just one. Man, I'll buckle down and focus on you, Al, for half of that, buddy. Focus on you.
What is that landscaper doing? Is he making like sea animals out of bushes and stuff? Like, he's a real artiste.
So. Yeah,
he's like
Edward
Scissorhands.
Yeah.
He's a master.
He's not using the leaf blower at 7 a.m. in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that one?
Yeah.
I live in an area where it seems like everybody's out in their yard at 7.
Yes.
With the leaf blower going on. So he's probably like letting Al sleep a little bit.
Yeah.
Starting a little later in the day.
It starts about Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the morning around my way.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
What's the passable time? Like, if I want to crank up the lawnmower
during the week.
It'd be 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
And I'm not mad at that. He owns 16 cars. That cost him. I don't know why you need 16 cars. Yeah. 16 cars. Oh, 23 cell phones. So he had a hell of a bill.
What?
23 cell phones. Maybe it's like the friends and family situation. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know how you pay 23 cell phones.
Were they all like the same? Were they all Android? Were they all iPhone?
Because he got stacked.
They were getting over on him.
Yeah.
Clearly.
He did not watch his accounting books very closely.
Clearly. I'm glad that you said that.
It's a Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's crazy that you said that. His accountant took a whole lot of his money for a Ponzi scheme, so he lost that.
Yeah. Oh, ouchie.
Yeah,
I saw a quote from him the other day. He said, I thought I had $50 million, and then I was flat broke.
Flat broke. But your boy Adam Sandler came through.
Nice.
And put some paper back in his pocket.
Let's go, Adam.
Put him in a movie. Paid him good.
Yeah.
Now Al's back here swanging.
Yes, that's awesome. He was saying he would do any movie there for a few years. Didn't
anything.
Need to see the script.
Please.
Get another Godfather.
Do whatever you need me to do. Hey. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on the ladies' night. Voting season. I'm not going to get too political right here and all that other good stuff. But there's an 81-year-old woman from Georgia. She voted for the very first time.
Wow.
I know you're not going to sing that song. Yeah, she has never voted before because, well, I'm not even going to tell you why. I'm going to let the story do it. But let's go to Channel 2 Action News today to hear the story.
Right now, we are live here at the Forest Park Senior Center in Clayton County. This is where we've seen people walk in and cast their ballot. But earlier, we were in Newton County where we spoke with two senior citizens, one who votes in every election and one who just voted for the very first time today.
I'm 81 today, but Sunday I'll be 82.
Betty Cartledge has seen a lot in her 81 years, but she's never seen the inside of a voting booth. Well, that was until Wednesday afternoon.
I'm in the vote for the first time in my life.
Betty, with the help of her niece Wanda, voted for the very first time at this polling location in Covington. She says she never voted before because her husband didn't think she should. Last year, her husband died.
Oh, what a
okay.
Gosh, what a finisher.
Last year, her husband died. Now she's voting.
Back to you in studio.
You see where Jimmy Carter voted?
Yeah. That was his dying wish to vote.
He was.
I'm so glad he got it, boy. He was hanging in there.
He hung in there.
He was hanging in there.
So what do you physically have to do to cast the vote? Like, I'm surprised that he was able to do whatever the requirement is. You have to move, don't you? He can extend his hand and stuff. It does not appear that he is capable of moving.
It doesn't.
I just laying there.
Maybe click a mouse. If you put the mouse in his hand.
Move it down, yeah.
It's like the they're like Dutch ruddering it, Wolchuk, where they're like doing it for him.
The Dutch rudder was
maybe
it's like a Ouija. Ouija board, you know, you're pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like he won't. Okay. Kemp. Is Kemp on the list? Yeah.
First got to have rigor mortis set in before death.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out to that lady. Now she can do her own thing out here. Her husband was holding her down.
Husband.
Hey, you know, hey.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? What else can you do, ma'am?
Yeah, he kicks for the Chiefs, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, my fantasy team's screwed. He died?
Last one before I get out of here because I'm up against it. But Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has suspended Mayor Benjamin Cranford. Huh. This is a Thirsty Thursday story. He was accused of leaving alcohol for state prisoners. Cranford allegedly bought some Seagram's gin, that old bumpy face, and left it in a ditch for a work crew. Just threw it in the ditch. Hey, man, you pick it up, all right?
Yeah.
You guys are good. He was suspended after 7 months on the job. He was just got there. He was already trying to change the, you know, morale around there.
Sounds like a real team player to me, Lucius.
People upset in prison. I'm trying to give him some, you know, come on, man.
Andy Dufresne just wanted beer for his guys, right?
Yeah. Somebody snitched on that, man. Yeah. So, shout out to the Benjamin Cranford just trying to do good out there for the prisoners. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. Shout out to Marvin Gaye for killing it in the background.
See you at the Juicy Burger, Lucius.
Juicy Texas. I had one last night, me and my son. We went out there for dinner.
Man.
Sure did. I'll be back this weekend. Get all I possibly can. Took a turkey leg home, too.
There you go.
Yeah. Brother bought some Tupperware.
There you go.
That fool bought some Tupperware to the fair, bro.
That's amazing.
I got it right here, pops. I'll be out of here. I'll see y'all tomorrow on a Friday. Holla.
There he goes, LA Live, Lucius Alexander, every night about 5:40 here in the nation. The text does want to know if they can download or stream that G-Bag of the Day song somewhere, Lucius. Is that on YouTube
it's
or
all
Insta?
Over, yeah, it's just all over the internet, man. Whoever you are, I'll send it to you in just a second, brother.
It's on the way.
Stand by, yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay, the C-Note's coming up next. 12 trades that make sense before the deadline, including a couple for the Cowboys. And then a sports hodgepodge coming up after that here. It's the G-Bag Nation of the Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.